You're listening to A Pawn Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal back at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center here in beautiful Henderson, Nevada. And thank you for joining us for another episode of A Pawn Further Review brought to you by our pals at Coors Light. And my friends, we did it. It is an actual game week, a regular season game week. I'm not talking about the preseason, and we are not talking about practice. We're not talking about training camp. We are talking about real, legitimate NFL football. In fact, by the time this comes out in just a few hours on Thursday afternoon, we are going to be in the final countdown, getting ready for the official kickoff of the 2021 regular season on Thursday Night Football. The Dallas Cowboys, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it is time. And God, I am excited. I'm very honest about this, guys. I'm not an off-season kind of guy. Like, yeah, the draft is cool. Like, I enjoy training camp. Like, you know, you get to learn about the team. You get to learn about the players. You know, the combine is fun, usually, obviously not this year. But what this really comes down to for me are these 18 weeks. This is my favorite portion of the year. And it's not even close. I absolutely love from now until, let's call it the end of February. It doesn't get any better than this. It does not get any better than this. I was telling someone when I was walking around the facility here the other day, this is what you do it for, right? This is what you do. You get ready for football. You get to this point. You put your head down. You wake up in early to mid-January, and you hope you're still playing ball. And this is what the best part of the job. I cannot express to you how much I enjoy these next 18 weeks. And I'm so excited that you guys are coming along for the ride with us. It is going to be a blast. We have a good show today. Actually, we have a great show today. I'll throw it out there. I feel good. I had my coffee. I'm fired up. I'm energized. In just a little bit, we're going to welcome in our guy, our correspondent. I don't know what we're going to call him, but I'll figure out something between now and the next time he comes on. Alec Ingold, fullback for your Las Vegas Raiders, where we talk week one, we talk about the preparation headed into Baltimore. We talk about the kind of space that this team is existing in. And that's one thing that is awesome about having Alec in the mix is that he gives us a kind of unique look into what is going on in this locker room. And look, access is different right now. So to have a kind of peek into that locker room, to understand the psyche of this team is something that is really cool. And I'm obviously very appreciative that Alec is willing to share that with us. But before we get into all that, before we start talking Lamar Jackson, before we start talking KJ Wright, Derek Carr, Darren Waller, all that good stuff, the grandeur, the fantasticalness, I don't think that's a word, of Monday Night Football. You know what time it is. It's time for us to kick things off with our transactions brought to you by Shift 4 Payments. And everyone, I hope you're sitting down. We got a lot of moving pieces since we last linked, last Tuesday. I know we had the KJ Wright emergency episode, but a lot going on for your Las Vegas Raiders, specifically in regards to the roster. So everyone sit down, relax. Here we go. In chronological order, per usual. On September 1st, the Las Vegas Raiders acquired linebacker Denzel Perryman in a 2022 seventh-round draft pick via a trade with the Panthers for a 2022 sixth-round draft pick. They also signed Jordan Brown, Matt Bushman, Lester Cotton Sr., B.J. Emmons, Gary Green, Devery Hamilton, Robert Jackson, Jimmy Morrissey, Jeremiah Putasi, Trey Regis, Max Richardson, Niles Scott, Dylan Stoner, D.J. Turner, and Kendall Vickers to the practice squad. The very next day, they signed tight end Derek Carrier, Jermaine Elamunwar, Dallin Levitt, and then signed cornerback Madre Harper to the practice squad. And then in another move placed Nicholas Morrow, Keyshawn Nixon, Jalen Richard, and Javon White on the reserve injured list. So 10-second timeout so I can, one, catch my breath, but give a little clarity to this move as well. So you might be thinking to yourself, hey, why did the Raiders put these guys, and when I say these guys, I'm referencing Morrow, Nixon, Richard, and White, on the reserve injured list when right after they made the initial roster? It's a great question. Because if they had put those guys on IR prior to the start of the 53-man roster coming out, that means their season would have been done. But because they made the initial 53, they are now eligible to return later this season. So that's a good news if you're a fan of this team. From everything we're kind of reading and seeing in the tea leaves, that these guys will be back, fingers crossed, hopefully sooner than later. Moving right along, on September 3rd, the Raiders signed linebacker Markel Lee, friend of the program, welcome home Markel, back to the practice squad and released linebacker Max Richardson from the practice squad. The very next day on September 4th, the Silver and Black announced the signing of running back Peyton Barber. And then the big one, on September 6th, just a few days ago, they signed linebacker KJ Wright and waived linebacker Tanner Muse. They also signed wide receiver David Moore and linebacker Patrick Onwasor to the practice squad, releasing BJ Emmons and Niall Scott from the practice squad to clear those spaces. We did it. All of our transactions for the past week. And look, it's that time of the year. You are constantly moving and changing and shaking this roster, specifically your practice squad and that kind of bottom three, four spots on the roster, because you need to be ready. You need to be nimble. You need to kind of make sure you have your final adjustments and everything ready to go headed into week one and Monday Night Football. And speaking of Monday Night Football, guys, just to get this out of the way at the top of the show, because it's really important. This is our number one headline of the week. Before Lamar, before Derek, before Darren Waller, we are starting here. And this is just my reminder to you guys that all Raiders home game attendees, age 12 and over, to come into Allegiant for a Raiders game, must provide proof of vaccination. So what that means, if you're a fully vaccinated fan coming to Monday Night Football, you do not, put this in all caps, you do not need to wear a mask. And if you're partially vaccinated coming to the game, you can still come to the game, but you are going to have to wear your mask. And to make everything easier for us, for you, for the game day experience, we cannot encourage you guys enough to download the Clear app. It's fast, it's easy, and honestly, it is the most efficient way for you to get entry into Allegiant Stadium on game day. Now, what do you need to do to download the Clear app? What do you need to bring with you as you download the app? Just have your ID and your CDC vaccination card. You only have to do this once, and it's good for the entire season. And guys, I'm telling you, do not wait until game day to do this. There's going to be 60,000 plus people at Allegiant, and you guys know how this works when you're all trying to use the same Wi-Fi. It's slow. Things will come up, I promise you. So download the Clear app. Get everything locked and loaded there before you get to the stadium. In fact, do it right now. It's Thursday, September 9th right now. So do it right now. As I said, it takes literally 5 minutes. I have two buddies flying in from Northern California to go to the game, and I've been texting them, reminding them, guys, do this before you come in. They're getting here on Sunday night, and I was like, guys, Tim, DJ, you gotta do this. Download the app, download the Clear app, and make sure that you have everything put together by the time you get here. Because it is going to be an incredible night. It is going to be such an exciting night. And we want to make sure that all of you are joining us and you're doing it safely and efficiently and you're able to get to where you need to go. And so for those of you that cannot use the Clear app, there is going to be an alternate vaccination screening Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 6 p.m. at Allegiant Stadium. Once again, that's Saturday and Sunday, this upcoming Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 6 at Allegiant Stadium. So for those fans, as I said, who are unable to use the Clear Health Pass to verify their vaccination status, this alternate screening is being offered under these following circumstances. If you're a fan who's partially vaccinated by September 13th, if you're a fan that has a vaccine that isn't supported by the Clear app, so that would be, in this instance, any vaccine other than Pfizer, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson, or if you're a fan that has a digital vaccine card or a photo of a vaccine card that is unable to be uploaded in the app, or if you're a fan bringing a vaccinated or partially vaccinated 12 to 13-year-old guest that is unable to use the Clear app. So that is when you use the alternate screening process, which, as I said, is taking place this Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 6 p.m. at Allegiant Stadium. But as I said at the top, for the best, most efficient experience for you to get into the stadium on Monday night, download the Clear app. Make sure you have everything in order. And as I said, guys, it's super quick. It's super easy. You do it once. If you do it today, you do not have to do it for the rest of the season when you come into Allegiant Stadium to cheer on your Raiders. It is, like I said, very simple, very easy, and it is a great way for you to figure out how do we get into the stadium? How can we do it efficiently? How can we do it safely? Because look, I guarantee you, all of you guys are going to want to be in this stadium because it's Monday Night Football. Oh my goodness. This is a moment that I feel like we've been waiting for so long. Organizationally, just as fans, as people who love this team, Monday Night Football, it seems like the date we've had circled on our calendar forever, September 13th, September 13th, September 13th, and it is almost here, and it is going to be a fantastic football game. Not only is it going to give the Raiders, the city of Las Vegas, the entire organization as a whole, to really show off everything that we've been working on here in front of the NFL world. We're the last game. We are the nightcap for week one, and I could not be more excited. We're the only game on TV on Monday night. It is going to be a blast. But in addition to getting to show off our stadium, in addition to getting to, you know, kind of see all the stuff that Gruden and Ole and Gus Bradley have been working on for the past 6 months, we get to see a fantastic football game. So when I look at week one, and we'll get to Alec Ingold in a second, we'll ask him his thoughts about week one as well, obviously. But when I look at week one, for me, and as I've told you a million times, everybody, I'm not a quote-unquote football guy. I'm really not. But when I look at this game, this is going to come down to one thing for me. Can you, and when I say you, I mean the Raiders defense, can you figure out a way to keep Lamar Jackson in check? Is there a way to do that? Because look, he is an incredibly dynamic athlete. He is an incredible quarterback, but you have to think of this guy as a dual. He is the prototypical dual threat quarterback. Now, I'm just pulling up his stats right now. Lamar Jackson had over 1,000 yards rushing a year ago. Over 1,000 yards rushing. He's a quarterback. Quarterback Lamar Jackson had over 1,000 yards rushing. Now, to put that in perspective, I'm looking it up right now. Lamar had 1,005 rushing yards last year. He had 7 rushing touchdowns. Now, if you pull up Josh Jacobs' stats from a year ago, Josh, who once again had an incredible campaign, really, really strong second season in silver and black, Josh had 1,065 rushing yards. So if we think about it in terms like this, Josh barely outgained, and I say barely, but I mean this with all due respect to all parties, Josh barely outgained Lamar Jackson a year ago on the ground. That speaks more to the talent of Lamar than anything that could have happened with Josh, right? Josh is an incredible running back. Josh is going to have a fantastic 2021. He's going to find his way into some very rare air this year. That is my prediction for Josh Jacobs in 2021. But all the same, it just goes to show how dynamic Lamar Jackson is. So can this rebuilt Gus Bradley defense, can this reborn Raiders defense figure out a way to limit Lamar? And I think that's the key word. The word when I think of Lamar Jackson on Monday night, how do you limit him? Because Lamar is going to get his. Lamar is very quickly and methodically finding his way into that conversations of the Mahomes, of the Josh Allens, the guys like that, that upper echelon, that top tier of quarterback, who when you game plan against them, you know they're going to get theirs in some capacity. But if you're Gus Bradley, if you're KJ Wright now, Denzel Perryman, Nick Kwiatkowski, Corey Littleton, how do we limit him? How do we make sure that 7-yard run that Lamar Jackson is inevitably going to get, how do we make sure that 7-yard run stays at 7? It doesn't become a 20, a 30, a 40, a 65-yard explosive play. How do we do that? And if you're able to do that, if the Raiders defense is going, if they are able to find a way to do that, I love their chances on Monday night. The Ravens running back core is a little banged up, so I think that a lot of the pressure on the offensive side of the ball is going to fall square on the shoulders of Lamar Jackson. I have a feeling he kind of likes that. But all the same, I think a lot of this is going to fall on Lamar. And I know we haven't seen this Raiders offense in its starting iteration since really, I guess, week 17 of last year. Derek didn't play this preseason. Josh didn't. You know, all these new toys. I'm not concerned about this offense. I've said it all offseason. We know what this offense is going to be. It was a top 10 offense a year ago, and they are only going to get better. So to me, the thesis, the question that I need answered, and we're all going to have answered by the time that we go to sleep very, very late on Monday night, can Gus Bradley's defense figure out a way to limit Lamar Jackson. If they can find a way to do just that, we are going to have a fantastic Tuesday, a victory Tuesday, I promise you that. It is going to be so much fun. But if Lamar Jackson gets loose, if he's, you know, running for 9, 10, 11 yards a carry, all right, now we're having a different conversation. But to me, that is the big question on Monday Night Football. Can you figure out a way to limit one of the most dynamic athletes in the NFL? And speaking of dynamic athletes, shameless. Oh, man, what a transition, Eddie. I'm proud of that one. Speaking of dynamic athletes, I have a feeling that our guest this week is going to like that segue into his interview, our man, Alec Ingold. Alec, for those of you who are joining us, you know, just in time for the start of the regular season, one, we thank you for joining us. Give us the like, the subscribe, the rating, all that jazz. But Alec Ingold has been very generous with us this offseason. Alec is going to continue that generosity throughout the season, joining us regularly to talk about everything that is going on in this building. So we're going to talk college football. We're going to talk charity. We're going to talk just the trials and tribulations, the ups and downs, the valleys, the low points of an NFL season and being an NFL football player with our man, Alec Ingold. So this week, Alec joins us virtually from his home here in Las Vegas. We talked to him yesterday, which because of this funky schedule was the off day. But Alec, per usual, was fantastic. You guys are going to learn a lot. And I think Alec sets the stage perfectly for what we are all thinking, waiting for, hoping for on Monday Night Football when your Las Vegas Raiders take on the Baltimore Ravens. So without further ado, sit back, relax, take a load off, and enjoy our conversation with Alec Ingold. And as promised, I'm very excited to welcome in our guest for this week, our correspondent. We got to figure out some sort of official name for you throughout the regular season. Whatever it is, you know him, fullback Alec Ingold. And Alec, how are you, sir? It's nice to see you on a funky scheduled week, but all the same, you look fantastic.
All the same, that's right. I mean, it's actually kind of hot. I was expecting September 1st to be like a specific day where the fall weather was just going to hit, and it's just not. It's not cooperating like that.
No, but that's the beauty of playing in a dome, right? We don't have to worry about this on Monday night as we get ready for Baltimore and Lamar Jackson and all that good stuff. And speaking of, man, it feels like we've finally arrived in so many senses of that term. We've been waiting through the offseason and training camp and the preseason. And now, as we talk to you, your team, the Las Vegas Raiders, are officially in a game week. If you can kind of just paint a picture for all of us of how this team is feeling now, finally getting a chance to go into the regular season.
Yeah, this team, and the beautiful thing about football in general is you only get 17 shots at it, and it's one time a week. So the team, the off season, you have 4, 5, 6 months of just anticipation, working extremely hard, sacrificing, and all this preparation really comes down to this first coming out party on Monday Night Football. And that's like the beauty in like not really understanding what the team is yet. You have a belief inside the walls, the four walls, but now that belief is on display for everybody else. So you hear the talk, you hear the banter. There's an entire market of, you know, sports talk radio and media and all that stuff saying and talking for so long. And you have these guys in this just like isolated training camp mentality, OTAs, the entire offseason on one belief. And it's completely different than everybody else's. And then you show up on Monday Night Football, and it's the first time where it's finally on display. So I think that's just the beautiful part of week one of the football season. Nobody knows what's going to happen. We have a belief system that's very strong. We're excited to show it, portray it for everybody else. But we've been working, you know, 5, 6 months for this opportunity, and it's going to come on Monday night.
I mean, you talk about the guys that have to go around and talk about what this football team is going to be. And dude, I'm with you, man. Like, I'm one of those guys who's got to pretend to know what I'm talking about throughout all the offseason and the training camp and the preseason. But now, like you said, this is finally on display, Monday Night Football, under the lights. The entire NFL world is watching at that beautiful stadium just a few miles from here. But, you know, just as a player, Alec, what makes week one different about the rest of the year? Because I feel like it's, you kind of look at the season in totality, but it feels like week one is always just kind of its own little like kind of world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think everyone kind of needs their season legs to show up, and everyone's excited. Everyone's juiced. Everyone has that emotional feel to game one, the first play, first time the pads hit. Everyone's as healthy as they're going to be. So it's almost like you're as athletic and explosive as you're ever going to be week one. And then everyone needs to settle down and everyone needs to see what the character is of the team, what the game plan is, how ready you are to adjust, because things are just going to be thrown out the window, you know, five plays in. And that's just how the NFL goes. You have to be ready for all these different scenarios, the adjustments, and nobody's been doing that for 4, 5, 6 months yet. So it's just exciting to be able to get into that game plan mode of what's your plan, what's the contingency plan, what's plan C, D, E, and F, and how can all the guys respond to it just like in the snap of the fingers.
You know, one of the things that I think is going to be great about having you on throughout the season is that you're going to be able to kind of educate us, the layman, about what's going on in this building. And obviously you're at your house right now. This is not the Raiders facility, as nice as it looks, Alec. But in terms of your guys' schedule this week, I guess what has changed leading into a real game week instead of, like, we talk about training camp or preseason, something like that?
Yeah, I think the game week, you kind of get emphasized periods, right? So now we're starting to really mentally focus in on certain aspects of the game that's going to show up. So, you know, Mondays are different than Tuesdays are different than Wednesdays, where you're focusing on different parts of the game. And whether that's normal down and distance, that's going to be a big day for me. Whether it's third and long, you're going to pass the ball a whole lot. So Hunter's got to be ready. Ruggsy, Brian Edwards, all those guys, Darren Waller. But just seeing the focus and the mentality of a certain day, be like, okay, you know, it's explained to us like different rooms in your house, right? Like you have to go into this idea or this world for a whole day and just put yourself in the game for every third and long or second and long. And you just focus on all of those plays. And then you watch the film, you make the corrections, and you move on to the next day. So that's really the big difference between a training camp, trying to evaluate competition, trying to get better, get your pads lower, get the fundamentals right. Now we're really focusing on different pages of the playbook, so to speak.
And it must be nice to game plan against an actual opponent, right? Like you talk about, we're not looking at evaluation anymore. We're not saying who's going to be the fifth wide receiver, who's going to be the sixth lineman. It's like, hey, we have a team coming into town. We know who they are. We know what they like to do well. Now, how do we stop them?
Yeah, and especially starting off with the Ravens. And offensively, it's one of the biggest challenges you can have. We got the whole AFC North this year. All those defenses are just known to be tough, rugged, fist fight type of defenses. So, you know, we got to embrace that challenge as an offense. We're starting off hot between that Ravens defense. So you got to finally start looking at how they tackle, how they show up, different blitz packages, different, you know, everything that they have to offer. All of a sudden you're looking at it completely different than playing against Gus Bradley's defense on a day-to-day basis.
As a fullback though, you must love the fist fight mentality of, I mean, look, historically speaking, when you think of the top defenses in the NFL, most of the time your mind goes to that AFC North. So you got to be fired up and like, hey, we're starting off in a big way.
Yeah, this is the biggest test. And I think it's the biggest belief system, you know, on our team to really get tested. You want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And that AFC North conference is tough as a defense. So it's going to be a big challenge for our offense all year long. And it's going to be exciting to really start off there and really have that measuring stick kind of game, so to speak. And Monday Night Football, like we said, everyone's going to be moving a little bit faster. The juice are going to be flowing a little bit higher. Everyone's going to be a little bit more on edge. So we'll see, you know, how that all plays out.
You know, we were talking a few minutes ago, Alec, about, you know, you brought up Henry and you brought up Darren and all those guys and Derek, and really on offense, defense, and special teams, yourself included. A lot of the starters for this team didn't play much, if at all, over the past month. At what point, I guess, how long does it take you to really kind of get back in the flow and get back in the feel of playing legitimate NFL football?
That's a tough question because, you know, obviously it's my third year, so I'm kind of on a different, this is my first year of being, quote unquote, a veteran.
You're an old man now, bro.
Dude, I'm 25 years old, getting old. No, but it's different. And I think it's a big sign of trust between our coaches and our staff in the guys that didn't have to play this offseason, this preseason. But a lot of that preparation, like we've been talking about, came through training camp practice. We showed up and we worked our tails off. You know, I'm going to make sure my language is all good, but, you know, we worked hard. And I think that is almost kind of a sign of respect from the coaches to the players. Like, we trust you guys in preparing the way you need to prepare. You've put game footage on tape. Let's evaluate some of these other guys. Let's get them game reps. Let's get other guys developed. And we're going to develop all you guys against one another in Henderson. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of a badge of honor that a lot of guys wore that, like, okay, now we're showing up to practice. When it's time to go, we're going 100 miles an hour, we're really trying to get better in all aspects, especially the fundamentals of football.
You know, it's funny because hearing you say that, it feels like that very much aligns with a lot of the things that you and I have been talking about this offseason, about how this team is now, you look on paper and yes, it's a young team, but it's a mature team. It's a different team than obviously it was a year ago. And for Coach and Mike and the coordinators to have that trust in you guys really from 1 to 53, like, hey, we trust you guys to put in the work. We trust you guys to be prepared come September 13th. Not to cast aspersions on other Raiders teams, but that seems something that like it's something a little different from years past.
Yeah, and I think it's a responsibility players are owning too. You know what I'm saying? Like it's enough of like, okay, we understand what the coaches are trying to tell us, what they're teaching us, how we're supposed to play. You know, there's a balance of coaches, and Nick Morrow told me this, and I'll never forget it, of coaches, you know, fundamentally and technique wise teaching you, and then philosophy teaching you. You know, those are two ways to coach somebody. And for them to give us the philosophy or the trust factor of, we trust you as human beings, as players, as professionals, then it's all of a sudden responsibility on us and the other guys in the locker room and veterans to step it up and always be physical, fast, as, you know, as prepared as we can be every single practice when we step on the field in order to make this Monday Night Football game a Raider football game.
Yeah, it seems like it's something that has to go both ways, right? Where the coaches have to be able to trust you guys to do your thing, to put in the work when nobody's watching. But at the same time, you also have to trust the coaching staff in return to put you guys in the best positions to succeed, to give you the slack when you need it, to give you the environment to succeed. So really, it's very much that mutually beneficial relationship between all parties.
Yeah, it's high risk, high reward, especially when you feel like there's a belief system in the culture, in the organization, and you just want to believe it with all your heart. And now it's time to put those action steps in. We can sit here and talk about it as much as we want, but Monday Night Football, we got to go out there and we got to prove the coaches right. We got to prove the staff right. We got to prove ourselves right in what we believe in our facility.
I'm just wrapping up here with Alec Ingold, who's been very generous on his day off. And I think we should let people know that, Alec. It's your day off, so you're doing this when you don't have to. So I very much appreciate you, as I always do. But a couple of new additions to this defense, especially over the past 10 days or so. But the big one, earlier this week, KJ Wright. Tell me something you've learned about KJ Wright over the past, 3 days since he signed?
Yeah, so my locker is right next to his. I mean, not specifically locker neighbors, but right there. And, man, that guy is huge. But he's a friendly guy. You know, just smiling, saying what's up, introducing himself to guys. You can tell he's a veteran, but he takes his preparation seriously. You know, he's asking questions on the littlest of details. And we talked a lot about this, guys across the locker room, just about how you want to do all the right things, right? And everyone wants to prepare the right way and do all of your job assignments the right way. But it's the little things, right? It's what you're wearing to walk through and making sure everyone's looking the same. It's how you're showing up. What time are you showing up to the weight room? Yeah, are you ready for the upper body lift? Just these little silly things that you might not think matters in a team. But when a guy like that shows up, who's won a Super Bowl, who's done it all, who's made the money, it's like when he shows up and he cares about the little things and he's asking questions about other guys in the locker room to do the little things right, that's what kind of makes you think that we're on the right direction. These guys matter and we care about one another. We trust one another in the locker room.
You know, we sat down with KJ virtually, of course, but we sat down with him on Monday or Tuesday, whenever he signed. And he was talking to me and he talked about the vibes in the building. And he's like, I walked in here and the vibes were just good. And I felt at home and I felt comfortable. And I immediately thought of you, because that's something you've been telling me. You've been hammering to me since March, April? Is it like, the vibes in this building are great and they're different than in years past. So to hear someone, like you said, a Super Bowl champion, a guy who's accomplished so much in the league, to kind of pick up on that too, I think that means something. I think that says something about where we are headed into week one.
That's continuity, man. Mm-hmm. That's, you know,
the synergy.
Yeah, right. So it's all the little things, vibes, little things, details. It kind of all means the same thing.
It does. Hey, man, but I have to ask you before we let you out of here. Big week for Alec Ingold's Wisconsin Badgers. Big week coming up. Do you know who you're playing? You know who's on the schedule?
We're playing the Fighting Max Crosby.
Yes, you are. You sure are.
I just don't see the Badgers losing to the Ypsilanti Eagles, the Eastern Michigan guys over there. So it's a good bounce back week. I, you know, very proud Badger alumni. So it was a tough game to start off with, but it'll be a good bounce back win.
At what point do you and Max start friendly, you know, getting at each other over Saturday's game?
I don't know. I think I got to start pretty soon here.
Yeah, you got it.
There's little whispers in the locker room. You know, I think Hunter Renfrow is nudging. Hunter Renfrow is a huge college football fan. No surprise to anybody, but he'll kind of nudge those little, like, hey, Badgers playing Eastern Michigan, you know, he'll start those little conversations for other people.
Oh, it's too good. Well, hey, I'm going to be this guy. I hope that everyone just has a good time because you and Max are two of my favorite guys on this team. So I don't want to see anyone be bummed out. I hope everyone has a good time and everyone stays safe. And speaking of staying safe and staying healthy, Alec, Monday Night Football, we are encouraging fans to get there early, to be in their seats, because it is going to be one heck of a show come Monday night on the field, off the field. And you guys just got to be super fired up to have fans in the stands again.
Yeah, I think if you're a Raiders fan, if you're from Las Vegas, you're going to be a Raiders fan coming here. That opening kickoff, the energy you're going to feel when Daniel Carlson boosts one through the end zone or puts it on the goal line, whatever we end up doing on that kickoff, just seeing that crescendo of excitement, yelling, you got to get there early. You got to witness that opening kickoff. There's nothing like it in sports. It's one of those things that it's a little detail. It's a vibe, and it's going to be very unique to the stadium of Las Vegas, the city of Las Vegas, and how we are going to be one with the fans. Once finally all this anticipation, it's going to be a lot on Monday Night Football. It's something that you want to be in your seat for.
I would agree. And it's not going to be a little vibe, Mr. Engel. It is going to be a big vibe Monday night at Allegiant Stadium. And for all the fans that are coming out there, once again, we are encouraging you. We are reminding you, please download the Clear app, register in the Clear app, so you have no issues getting in the stadium, so you can see Alec and all of his friends do their thing against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Well, Alec, man, per usual, you're fantastic. We will catch up with you probably not next week, but the week after. Stay safe, stay healthy. Let's have a lot of fun Monday night. And I can't wait to see you out there doing their thing.
All right, Eddie. Big vibes.
Big vibes. Alec Ingold. And per usual, a huge shout out to my guy, Alec Ingold. Make sure you guys give him the follow on all of his social media platforms. He's a very entertaining guy on there, as he is in real life. But it's about that time to get out of here. We have a lot to do. There is so much to do, as you can imagine, leading into week one, Monday Night Football. A huge moment for this organization, a huge moment for this city. And that's one thing before we get out of here and I crack an ice cold Coors Light and hit the dusty trail that I'm really fired up to see on Monday night. I'm excited for Vegas to get their moment in the sun. I'm excited for everyone on a national scale to see what this city has become, what this city is capable of being. And it's going to, just thinking about it just gives me the best feeling at my core. Like, it is going to be so much fun. There are so many people in this building, in this community, that are so proud of being from here, are proud of living here, that want to say, hey, this is who we are, NFL. We are an NFL city. And that moment on Monday night is going to be super cool. But as I said, before we get out of here, we have to crack an ice cold Coors Light. And I think today, as I sit here in our beautiful studio and I kind of have a chance to think a little bit about everything that we've gone through collectively the past year and a half, the fact that we're going to have a packed stadium in just a few nights here at, you know, right off the strip, everything that we've gone through as a people, everything that we've gone through as a league, as a team, as human beings, man, I think when I sit here and I take stock and I get to get a chance to ponder that I want to crack this ice cold Coors Light for all of our doctors, our nurses, our healthcare professionals, everyone that has made moments like Monday night possible. And let's be brutally honest here, man. It has been a tough year for everyone. It has been a trying 18 months for us as a people. And I know that it feels like, you know, there was that kind of great moment, that great is the wrong term, but there was that moment kind of in the peak of everything last year, where I feel like we finally gave the doctors, the nurses, all those healthcare professionals their moment in the sun. You saw them honored at the Super Bowl, which was fantastic. But we need to keep honoring them. We need to keep supporting them because they are the ones really that are making sure that the people that are still getting sick are getting cared for and we can have moments like Monday night. And it is going to be a fantastic moment. It's going to be a great moment. I'm so excited. I'm so appreciative. I'm so grateful that we're going to be able to have that celebration, that we're going to be able to have this house party with 60,000 plus of our closest friends. I can't wait. I really cannot wait. I think on a personal level, it's going to be really exciting to kind of kick off this new chapter of our lives here, of our careers here. I can't wait. I'm excited to have my friends to come, you know, that they're going to be able to come into town, that I'm able to have dinner with my friends on a Sunday night before a Monday night football game. Like, these Monday is going to mean so much to so many people, but I think we need to remember the people that help make this possible. So this Ice Cold Bruchacho on a Thursday morning is for all of our healthcare workers, our doctors, our nurses, everyone that will make moments like Monday night possible and that have helped us all so immensely over the past 18 months. So this one is for you. And guys, just on my way out, my final plea to you, my final beg of you, my final ask is we have a fantastic post-game show, a fantastic post-game podcast that is going to drop late Monday night. It's me, it's Jason Fitz, our pal from ESPN, the fifth quarter. Make sure you subscribed wherever you get your podcast. It is going to be so much fun. We're going to be posted up at the Twitch Lounge at Allegiant Stadium. I went and I did a site visit yesterday. Our spot is going to be sick. It is going to be really, really cool. I cannot wait to see what it's going to look like when we are broadcasting from there. We're going to have a lot of fun. And man, I hope all of you have a fantastic time at Monday Night Football. I hope all of you, wherever you're watching the game, whether it's at Allegiant, if it's somewhere else in Vegas, Oakland, Los Angeles, New York, Montana, Connecticut, wherever you are, I hope that you are hanging out. I hope you are enjoying this moment because, guys, all of us earned it. Every single person, all you guys that listen to the show, all you guys that listen to anything that we do, all of you guys that that are a fan, watch any of our television broadcasts, that read the articles, that watch the that look at the photos, we all earned this, and I cannot wait. So send me some pictures of you guys cracking Ice Cold Bruchacho. Show me your game day setups. I love seeing that kind of stuff. It brings a joy to my spirit, and I cannot wait. So, for Eddie Pascal, our guest this week, Alec Ingold, my man Ray on the ones and twos, my friend Alexandra behind the glass, and everybody else at Silver and Black Productions who makes our little program go from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And guys, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I am so excited for Monday night. I cannot wait. We will see you in the fifth quarter outside the Twitch Lounge, and then we will catch you same time, same place, our normal airtime for our next episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.